There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And this hour, like all the other hours on this station, 56 hours a week of live local shows. You can get in touch with us at 343-0106 on the text line or the phone line. Hey, speaking of shows, and tomorrow morning at 7, Mike Ward and I for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We have Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, our guest on the show. We will talk about the going into the rodeo, the red snapper numbers, also new regulations out on sheep's head and redfish, and a couple different things in the mix of snook in the mix as well. We'll ask him about all that. That's coming up tomorrow at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Plus, it runs through the weekend a couple different times, so you can check that out. But there's an announcement coming tomorrow on Director of Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. Some changes coming, so you'll want to be tuned in for that. Is that a tease? That's a good tease. All right. Let's go to the text line here, and then I want to also get into something else that's happening this weekend on this radio station. But first, let's go to, let's see, this unnamed texter said, our government, especially the Pentagon, mired in red tape, and the inability to get things done will be our demise. We should be leading the way and years ahead of the Chinese on this stuff. Okay, this is from last hour, talking about the drones. All right. Oh, and then added on for the other story, 30 with criminal backgrounds. Yeah, it was just, I thought it was interesting. John's story, you got that from the city council meeting for Gulf Shores and then pushing back. And then ICE pushing right back themselves. All right. Doesn't have medicine. Here are some facts. You know, I dig facts. The structure that collapsed in Gulf Shores did so because it was not supported correctly during the construction process. The whole building and slab are being redone. Also, Phil Harris is also a commercial general contractor in Gulf Shores. He knows his stuff and is a good guy. Okay, so that's back to the story I talked about. Okay, there you go. But remember, wasn't there something similar? I think there was. So it doesn't have matters talking about the councilman, Phil Harris, who said Rayburn were, I think the quote is, they're absolutely qualified to do the work. And not the same company, but remember University of South Alabama, wasn't there a facility that they're putting it up and then we had big winds or something that came down? I don't know if it's like, you know, if I know a little bit of wood construction, build some there and framing and, you know, we'll have supports holding the wall up until you get the, you know, the other walls on to tie them together. And I don't know in the metal building world how, if it's done the same way. I do not know that. But I appreciate, I know that y'all do. Many of y'all out there do. So please send in the more facts. Thank you, Doesn't Have Meta. John says no snow. There wasn't snow when collapse happened. Jason says, sounds like some bleeding hearts on the Gulf Shores Council, but that's what all the growth will get you. I don't know. Actually, if you read through the story, Jason, I can link it to you, or you can go over to AL.com. Read through it. I don't think it's bleeding hearts coming from the councilman. This texter here, maybe you've addressed this and I missed it, but what's going on with Mobile's new airport? I heard yesterday that several of the general contractors and therefore many subs were not paid in the last week for completed work. They have not received a response yet from those in charge. I don't know about GCs and subs not getting paid. I don't know. I know the progress report, if you go back to last week. So if you go, you know, if you subscribe anywhere for podcasts, make sure you're subscribed for FM Talk 106.5. If you have our app, you can get all the podcasts right there on the app. You can go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, and click the podcast tab. Any of those places, if you'll go back and look for, I guess search word would be Mobile Airport Authority or Luckett Robinson, the conversation he and I had about the pacing of the construction. We talked for half hour or more, I think, about it on the show, so you can go back and listen to that. But I have not heard anything referenced there. But maybe we can reach out. Somebody does know. Yes, Terry said, the problem with the Mobile Airport is the quality of the flights. They all seem to have, all they seem to have are small regional jets. They get you there, but not very comfortably. If Gulf Shores is getting in larger aircraft, it might eventually kill Mobile Airport. Yeah, well, you know, you take the small regional jet right to get you to Atlanta, and then you get on a big plane. Believe me, I know that world. Ed says, I still grab state maps at welcome centers. Yeah, I used to. I don't anymore. Now, I'm a map freak. The people here will tell you, like, I mean, if you've been to my house, there's a lot of framed maps. Here in my office, there's a lot of framed maps. I love historical maps. But I don't. When I was a kid, I absolutely, my poor parents, we'd stop at the rest stop, and I'd grab every map and brochure, whatever I could get. This texture says, my stereo lowers the volume when I'm backing up. That's good. I think mine does, too. That's old man mode. John says, it's Pensacola Airport's fault. We could have had traffic from Gulf Shores Mobile in Pensacola, but Pensacola didn't want to have it at Loxley or Wilcox Road area. We could have had flight at least some of California and several in the Northeast, possibly overseas flights. But John, explain that. So it's Pensacola's airport. You're saying because Pensacola beat us to it? Is that, I mean, because I know a lot of Baldwin County folks absolutely go to Pensacola, and I have in the past, and heck, I live west of Mobile's airport, but I've gone there for certain fares and even going on to Mississippi for certain fares, but I fly out of Mobile a good bit. But yeah, it seemed like Pensacola was there and grabbed a lot of that Baldwin County market for sure. Let's see, unnamed texter. Oh, this is Old Drink Slinger. Thank you. Old Drink Slinger said, there's some things you just can't do anymore. I laid down in the yard to look up at the clouds. All of a sudden, I heard tires screeching. People jumped out of the car and shouted, are you okay? And I said, I'm okay, just trying to get the dog to play with me. They thought you were dead. Yeah, if you're so old, you lay down in the yard, they'll think you've passed away. That's real stuff. Michael says, hopefully Snook will be catch and release only. It is not. So I'm going to give you a little, because they put the list out. I guess I'm not stealing thunder from tomorrow's show, but that list is out and online. It's one at 28 inches, that retention. And I get it. I was on your side. Actually, I mean, I didn't want to have it qualified as a game fish in Alabama because I didn't think they were going to stick around long enough. But there's some research out. The number of snook that made it through the big cold and the snow we had, that they probably are here to stay, which is cool. And I know Michael's saying catch and release to get more of them, but they said if they do no retention, there's something, we'll talk about it. I'll ask this question tomorrow on the outdoor show. Roger in Baldwin County said, South Alabama incident was at the practice shed. Thank you. Roger knows what I'm talking about. South Alabama incident was the practice shed for football. I think just got the beams up and didn't have the cross beams in, and it folded just like dominoes, I believe. All right. Thank you, Roger. I'm not gone batty. Other people remember this. Okay, doesn't have meta said the outdoor practice facility at USA fell under construction due to a microburst wind. I knew I remembered this thing. Daniel said pretty much the same as stick framed house, just welded and bolted temporary supports and kickers. Okay, so Daniel, like the same ideas we know, like framing wood wise, that stuff makes, I mean, you do it the same way for metal. Thank you. I've just never put up anything metal like that. And although we're fixing to, I got some metal trusses, but they'll be sitting on wood poles. Okay, John came back and said Pensacola fought against it. Okay, but how did they do that? Did they get people here to get the, how did they do that? Let me know. And Keith said, I got a laminated map of the Upper Delta, got it at the camp. Oh, I've got, Keith, we got to talk. I mean, I've got, so current Delta maps, photo images, and I have some classic, I have one classic hand-drawn map of, from Mobile, the whole way up past the cutoff on the river. It's just like right when you walk in the door of my house to the right there. It's a prized possession. Love that thing. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile. And a tribute to my friend Jolene Roxbury, 500th show tomorrow. That's actually why the Blues are flying tomorrow in celebration of it. We'll get to that when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and good to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Hey, David.
Hey, bud. We got some good inventory. We got some stuff lined up to hopefully get purchased Monday and Tuesday of next week. So we'll have some more stuff coming in. But we got a really nice Buick Encore sitting out here. I'm looking at right now. It's a little white four door. So this is a smaller SUV. It's a great teenager car. Or just get around town car under 10 grand. We got two really nice Ford Explorers that are priced right. And of course, all the trucks that we normally keep, you know about the trucks.
I do indeed. You know, you're talking about those smaller vehicles. I was, my daughter, you know, y'all, I bought my daughter's car from David, and she had to get some stuff out. She had to get everything out of it because I'm doing something with it. And she said, okay. And she started pulling stuff out. It was like clowns coming out of a car at the circus. The volume of things. And at one point, I guess you can't help it, she's my child, all this girl stuff comes out. And then firewood comes out. I'm like, child. But she's riding around with firewood. So you can haul a lot in those things. I should have taken pictures. You can haul a whole bunch in those small SUVs.
Let's talk about something else, too, right quick while we got it. You've got somebody that works with you, ended up buying a car from an individual, and was able to get out of the deal. And now they're looking to buy something from us because of what happened. So please be careful when you're looking at cars out there. I mean, we're here every day. This is what we do every day. And we're going to try to get you the best deal that we can on anything that you're looking for, car, truck, van, RV, whatever you want, we can try to help you with. And if you need anything in the future, you know where to come and ask us. If you buy something from somebody you don't know, you never know what you're going to get. So just always think about that. Come see us if we can help you.
No, well said. And, you know, we've talked about that before, that, you know, y'all vet these vehicles. And you talked about the story the other day. Y'all vet these vehicles. You get the Carfax on these vehicles. And if you'd like us to go drive that car, because often we'll buy it, but, like, you'll let us take that car and take it to our mechanic and get them to look at it before we even sit down and make a deal.
I'd much rather someone come in, find the car they want, drive the car home that night, come back tomorrow and do the deal. That way they get to touch it, feel it, smell it. You know what I'm saying? And know that's what they want. And cars can be an emotional purchase, but we just try to make sure we put the right car with the right customer, and we very rarely do we have buyer's remorse.
Absolutely. Tell folks how to come find you. Have never been there before? Y'all go see them. How'd they get there?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're at the third red light. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website. And I always understand lcmmotorcars.com. If you're looking for something and you do not see it on the website, that does not mean we don't have it or that we can't have it in a couple of days. So give us an opportunity.
Got that right. You have a great weekend, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Before we get on the next thing, I do want to... So, I'll just say this. Michael said that just stinks. They're the coolest, most fun-fighting fish I've ever caught. He's talking about the snook regulations now. We do, and I think they are going to – I don't think the one retention – Michael, not enough people are really dialed in on catching them, and they're mostly over in the Perdido system. But I agree with you. Like I, you know, like I said, I've spent part of my life in South Florida, right? I have family members there. I was catching them when I was young, like off bridges. But I used to fish a professional redfish tour. It's been a lifetime ago. So I fished on the redfish tour. And my partner and I, he about threw me off the boat. We were down fishing an event in Tampa. And we're trying to find redfish. That's what we're competing in. And the snook bite was on so much that they are the funnest fish to catch. I wouldn't let us leave that spot because I was like, no, we're just catching all these snook. He said, and we're not in a snook tournament, Sean. I'm like, dang it. And we had to go elsewhere and find redfish. All right, 500 shows. This is an accomplishment. I've never even tallied up the number of shows I've done, but when I hear the number 500, I'm impressed. So my friend Jolene Roxbury, has been doing, actually, she was doing stuff with me back when I was in rock and roll radio before we even got started with FM Talk 106.5. But a heck of a milestone, 500 shows. That tomorrow will be the 500th show from Jolene Roxbury and her players. And she sent me a little memories here of the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour and appearances I've had on her show. And go to cut one.
Hi, this is Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Preserving and securing the safety of the people of Mobile County is a very rewarding job, but it can also be stressful and demanding. Laughter has been shown to lower blood pressure by releasing endorphins, which counteract the negative effects of stress. And in law enforcement, that's a very valuable tool to have. One way we fight stress is by tuning in to the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour. Join us every weekend on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you so much, Sheriff. That means a lot. Could I get you to change one thing, though? We like to say laughter releases endorphins.
Jolene, I grew up on the Gulf Coast and spent a lot of time on the water, and I've never seen an endorphin.
Oh, they're not in the water. They're invisible. They come out when you laugh.
Oh, okay.
You did, and I got to say, I'm pretty fired up about having you on the show. When Dalton said Miss Piggy was on the line, I really didn't even believe him.
Well, believe it, you radio vermin, you rat!
Hey, wait just a minute. And Dalton, by the way, good job on the beeping on the fly right there, the sensor there. Miss Piggy, this is a live show for a general audience, families and all that. At least I'd try to keep it that way, so you're going to have to tone it down. I'm assuming you're calling in to talk about the Muppet Show.
Wrong again, you shock jock! You gossip Trojan!
Hey, wait a minute.
You monger of the megahertz!
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Megahertz, more commonly abbreviated as MHZ, is a unit of alternating current, AC, or electromagnetic EM wave frequency equal to 1 million hertz.
Hey, Kermit, is that you?
The megahertz is commonly used to express microprocessor clock speed. I would think with your expertise in the field of radio, you would know what megahertz is, Sean.
I'm familiar with the word, I've just never heard it used in that context, so it's good to have you both on the show.
Oh, stuff a sock in it, Sullivan. And hello, 1979 called and they want their stupid song back. Stop playing it, I'm sick of it. I heard your comments. Not funny. Just like all the other bottom feeders in the media, I may be a pig, but I don't like mudslinging, and you media types are always looking for dirt.
Well, I...
What, you make me sick?
Miss Piggy, wait.
You want to know the real reason Kermie and I are splitting up?
Yeah, didn't you have an affair with Beaker?
That is not true. We're just friends.
Sean, I have to agree. While Piggy does have an affection for Beaker-shaped accessories, she remained true to our vows.
The truth is, I am a Hollywood liberal, and my Kermie is quite the conservative.
Sean, the only thing I am liberal with is the barbecue sauce.
You see what I have to put up with?
Kermit, I had no idea you enjoyed discussing politics. I'd love to have you back on the show.
Me for the last
Sean,
time.
We'll talk later when I'm sans the pork belly.
I can have you over for dinner when you're in town. Just remember, don't make a pig of yourself.
That's it, Sullivan. I'm coming to kick your ass.
I'll speak with you later, Sean. Perhaps I can fly down and host Mobile Morning.
You think the telephone can separate you?
Ow! Okay, I'm sorry. Ow! I'm sorry.
She's very abusive with her pocketbook there. I learned to duck.
Ow!
And so I have also been part of the madcap hilarity and the hijinks on the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour. 500 show tomorrow. Jolene was saying years ago she had the idea to have a non-political, wholesome, silly, funny, no ugly talk show. Of course, that now seems to be the trend. Good stuff. And congratulations and break a leg going forward. Jolene, we appreciate it. So you check it out tomorrow here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, coming back, we'll get your text and phone calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good, we got a contest rules update there. Because it will not be long. Won't be long now until College Pick'em 2025 gets kicked off. Dalton's been working on it a whole bunch. Of course, that's our, if you've not participated before, welcome. Get on board when we start it next month. But it gives you a chance to pick the college football games that we select. And each week you get to make your picks and compete against, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others. Probably maybe pushing thousands at some point here. And you get to compete, picking the college football games, and fantastic prizes for the winner. And all football season long, you get to trash talk the different people in it, which is fun. Now, you get to trash talk us, too. We can't win the prize, but we also compete. Meaning, I know Dan's in there. Dalton's in there. Several of us here. I'm in there. Several of us. Jeff, I think, is in there. And people with the station. They compete, but we can't win the prize. But we, you know, get in for the trash talk. And so it's fun. So that'll be launching next month. It's back for another year and good stuff, the College Pick'em. Right, let's see if I got to clear any text here quickly. And then I want to get to a, you know, an Alabama Power story. You know how I love those. Chris in Orange Beach, has sent me, oh, those cars are cool. Sent me old and older. Are those yours? That's awesome.
I'd take that.
What year's that vet? That's all. I've never owned a car. I've always had trucks. Never owned a car, but if I had a car, Corvette might be one that I would have. Let's see. Paul says, "What project did they say the contractors were not getting paid on?" Somebody had texted in about the airport, about the new build on the airport. I don't know anything about that, so. But that's what somebody had texted in. A named texter, I think, had said the GC and the subs had not been. Here it is. Yeah, this texter. And please give yourself a nickname or whatever when you're texting to us. Regular name, nickname, whatever. But said this unnamed texter said, "I heard yesterday that several of the general contractors and therefore many subs were not paid in the last week for completed work. They've not received a response from those in charge." I don't know the veracity of that, but well, sure, there's somebody out there that does, if you can help us with that. Paul says, "I prefer the old Midtown Girl Roxbury song as it talks about the fake breast." Yes, that's a classic. Maybe she'll break that one out. Break them out tomorrow on the 500th episode of the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour. Right, this story, I guess it came out. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it came out yesterday. And this is something we've talked about. I've talked about with y'all over the years. It's a thing that I focus. I got an issue with the Public Service Commission and the way it oversees our utilities in Alabama, right? So utilities, if y'all realize, they don't have to compete, right? They don't have to compete in the marketplace. And so therefore, they have to fall under certain rules out there and overseen by the Public Service Commission. And you know the conversations I've had and how Twinkle Cavanaugh wouldn't ever come on the show and was angry at me, all those things. And I've complained about, if you look at surrounding southern states, right, and states that have the same parent company as Alabama Power, their rates for power versus ours also happen on the gas side, on the natural gas side. It's you can compare apples to apples, I think, when you compare other southern company states. But this story, this came out from AP, but it's posted up at MyNBC15 at WPMI's website. It says, Alabama's utility regulators can continue to hold closed-door meetings to determine price hikes in an apparent departure from common practices in neighboring states, a circuit court judge ruled. Now, once again, this is a utility, right? That has the right to, doesn't have to compete. It says, and other states surrounding us, just like I talked about their rates, but other states around us, if they're having a meeting talking about price increases, those in other states are public. But a circuit judge has ruled here in Alabama they don't have to be. The decision on Monday rejected a lawsuit filed by the Southern Environmental Law Center on behalf of Energy Alabama, a nonprofit that advocates for renewable energy resources. Folks from the SELC have been on the show with me before because of what I think are old ideas and unfair ideas about solar, right? Like if you have solar on your house, you still have to pay a fee to Alabama Power, even if you don't use that power. Because Alabama Power says, well, that's what it costs them to keep it in reserve if you need it. We're way behind on the solar thing. And I'm, you know, I am a fossil fuel guy, but I'm very, I mean, I think Keith earlier had sent me a text and said his camp is on solar. Mine, 15, 16 years ago, Keith, I had a whole my camp up on the Tom Bigby on solar. Working on solar stuff now, maybe eventually going to full solar where I live now. I love it, but I also don't believe in the government, you know, giving special benefits to any of them, fossil fuels as well. But I don't feel like the government needs to be incentivizing this. But I think it's a very interesting area to grow in. I think there's a lot to be done there. It's going to get better and better technology-wise. I dig solar. I'm into solar a lot. I like it. And I feel the state of Alabama is working, at least through Alabama Power, working against growth in that. But this is really this is like open door meeting policy issue here, beyond just that part of it. It says, so the SELC was denied access to two meetings last year where the Public Service Commission decided how Alabama Power, the state's largest electricity provider, should adjust prices based on volatility in global fuel cost. Lawsuit argued the denial flouts both the local regulations and the regional norms. Montgomery Circuit Judge Brooke Reed ruled against the environmental advocates in a one-page order after the hearing in June. She said the group's rights had not been substantially violated. At the June hearing, Reed said the commission's, quote, interpretation of its own rules should be given deference, end quote. Christina Tidwell, senior attorney for the SELC, blasted Reed's decision in a statement on Monday, said while other southern states have meaningful public engagements in fuel cost proceedings, Alabama Power customers will continue to be shut out of the process, end quote. The Alabama Public Service Commission has rules that govern how Alabama Power can change electricity prices to offset increases in fuel cost, which tend to be volatile. Those rules say the public is entitled to hear evidence and participate in proceedings that adjust fuel costs to ensure those changes are just and reasonable. The lawsuit had said there had only been two public fuel cost hearings since the commission's current rules were adopted in 1981. By contrast, Georgia Public Service Commission, which regulates a sister company of Alabama Power, has held at least 26 public formal fuel cost proceedings, according to the complaint. Now, mind you, like they said in the story here, same parent company, right? So Georgia, Alabama Power, same Southern company, parent company. So the last public meeting in Alabama was called because a 2008 financial crisis caused fuel prices to skyrocket rapidly, according to attorneys for the state commission. They argued that the commission hasn't technically initiated a new proceeding since that change 16 years ago, even though rates have been adjusted over 15 times since then, so they're not compelled to invite public input. Attorneys for the state also argued that the public has, quote, plenty of opportunities for input, even without public meetings, because the commission publishes monthly reports on fuel prices online and rate changes are subject to public appeal. Because they publish it, they're saying that. Does this frustrate you? I mean, here's the thing. Honestly, they probably could open these meetings and there would be nobody but special interests there. But it still doesn't mean you should be able to close the public out of a utilities meeting. Goes on in the story here, say Alabama Power is a subsidiary of the Atlanta-based Southern Company, which reported $4.4 billion in profit in 2024. According to annual shareholder reports, Alabama Power serves about 1.5 million of the state's roughly 5 million residents. Most residents get electricity through municipal or cooperatively owned utilities. In 2023, the average Alabama Power consumer was paying $159 a month. Okay, so that was 2023, compared to the statewide average of $132 a month, according to the most recent data. Alabama Power did not respond to an emailed request for comment on the story. After the ruling, Energy Alabama's executive director, Daniel Tate, said in a statement that the decision was, quote, disappointing for Alabamians who have no choice but to pay the high cost of fossil fuels on their Alabama Power bill. we could, Alabama Power may be in the right in some of this and why they have to do a rate increase here and a rate increase there. But they're a utility, and the idea that they should be able to close any portion of the public out of the meeting on that, I think it's boneheaded and wrong. Pick this one up probably next week on the show. We'll start digging this, trying to get some interviews on here. All right, coming right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Great time to check in with my buddy Ron, like we did at the beginning of the week, at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And right off the blocks here, let's talk about some precious metals prices. We usually lead with gold. Lead with silver today. What's happening with that?
Yeah, silver is way up. Silver hit 39 and dropped back down with a small correction. It's trading at 38.89 right now an ounce. So it's been closing that gap between gold that we've been talking about for a long time. I mean, it hasn't gotten back to where it needs to be, but with gold trading right at $3,400, silver should be really closer to about $42 an ounce. So it's got a ways to go to close that gap and make it a little more normal, but it seems to be making that up because gold hasn't been moving a whole lot and silver's been climbing the ladder. So it's been a big demand. It's been trading online and lots of public coming in buying silver. We sold a lot of silver today, and all week, really. So silver's been the hot topic.
Okay, so that's what I've, you know, over the years, just budget-wise, that's what I started buying. And I can tell you, bought it for a lot less than $39 an ounce out there. But you mentioned this ratio. Can you tell us, like, you've said this over the years, you're watching there's a ratio between the price of gold and the price of silver that is historical, right?
Right. It was set at 24 to 1 originally back in the 70s. So when Nixon basically said, okay, it's legal to own gold again, the ratio at that point was basically 24 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold. And I mean, before this all started correcting, it was 105 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold, and it's down to about 92. But Sean, when you and I first started talking, it was about 45. So it's, you know, almost over doubled as far as silver or gold outperforming silver. But silver's starting to, you know, make up for that now. So hopefully it'll keep it up and make it more even, Steven, because it was really out of whack for a long time.
Beginning of the week, too, we started talking about those others, platinum and palladium, and you said there was some movement going on there.
Yeah, and platinum hit 1,400 an ounce this week, and so we had a lot of people profit-taking because over the last probably 3 months we had at least 10 to 12 people that were really getting heavy into palladium, and all of them did really well, and a couple of them already did profit-taking on it and sold it. So it's doing pretty well.
Okay, people want to come in and check out, I mean, just buying it, you know, in raw form, or like I've done with the coins over the years, silver or gold or platinum or palladium. How do they find you?
Yeah, come into the shop. We're located at 2204 Government Street. They can call us at 251-725-1590 or check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thank you, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean. Take it easy, buddy.
Hey, you too. There goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, let's go to the text line here in the closing minutes of Matt and Daphne. Said, that's cute, but you just read Alabama customers' rights had not been substantially violated. Bureaucracy just gets better and better. Can you rewrite that a little bit? I'm having my reading acuity is obviously not where it needs to be. That's cute, but you just read Alabama customers' rights had not been substantially violated. Bureaucracy just gets better. Listen, the rate thing I've been talking about for the longest time, right? The rate for electricity and also for natural gas. I mean, we've talked about those over the years and what I feel is a failure in regulation by the Public Service Commission. But so that's an issue here, obviously. But this is an additional thing that's like on top of this is this judge ruling, Now, it's Alabama Power, you know, went to court along with this SELC, and the judge said the public doesn't have the right to go into these meetings. We're talking about rate increases because of fuel costs, because they publish this stuff. But then you look right across the border. We're not talking about New York or something. Georgia has the open door meeting on that. Why can't we? Like, and listen, the argument you can make is like, nobody's going to go anyway. You're probably right, but still, they need, I want open doors. I mean, this is a utility, y'all. Let's see. This is Roger. Roger said, also, you can have solar without, first of all, it says fuel cost. A couple here. Let me go back to the beginning. Powerman fuel price increases are 100% pass-through cost by law. There's nothing really to approve. Just have to show the justification of the cost. If valid, must be approved. Fuel costs are pass-through with no markup. Also, you can have solar without paying APC if you don't want to have any connection to the power grid. Roger, I agree. I've talked about that over the years. The camp I had, completely off-grid. I didn't have to pay that. So 100% with you. If you want the availability, you want the ability to get power from APC, if your solar power system is inadequate, aka no sun, you have to pay because the company is required to maintain those lines and have the spinning reserves available whenever you decide to draw power. I said that. So I have been in this story for a long time. And accurate. Everything you've said is accurate. She says, this means more power has to be available than demand because APC is obligated to serve the public by maintaining a reliable system with adequate power in all situations. Okay. But at the same time, that power can you pay the whatever the fee is, you know, for reserve power. But what about the person who never uses it? And what about being able to sell back, who's producing on solar, sell back into the grid? Like, I think we're behind in this in Alabama. Like I said, I think solar's cool. I'm very down with solar. I'm also all about fossil fuels and producing electricity. And so, I mean, can we do this better? And Roger, you seem like somebody who knows a little bit about this. Do you think we could do better in Alabama on this? All right. Bob and Foley said there's an accident, I-10 westbound between Malbus exit and... Between the Malbus exit and the Loxley exit, traffic's backed up past Loxley going west. Okay, so westbound I-10. So the accident must be at the Malbus exit. All right, it's backed up traffic as far as Loxley. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that heads up. Tim says, Sean, you always know, Sean, I know it's always good to be transparent, but believe you me, you're getting a bang for your buck whenever you're buying something from the power company if you compare it to all these other companies. You mean other Southern companies? That's one. How can we look at like Georgia or Florida and compare? That's what I've done in the past, trying to be apples to apples, right? And rates for electricity, you know, what we're paying. And it's not just Alabama Power. Back in the day, we looked at it for natural gas, too. I don't know if that's changed, but Daniel said they're all owned by the Southern company. Correct. Yes. And Michael says the difference is APC won't buy back. Yeah, and I think we could do better on that, right? And so, like Roger said and others, like, absolutely. Like, when I do off-grid stuff and off-grid cabin and all that, I don't have to pay that charge. They don't care. Alabama Power doesn't care that I have that. But it's when you have, you know, which I'm kind of looking at like a hybrid system, too, at the main house, to do something where I would have power available, like I think Roger said, if it had to kick in, but I'm going to try to produce as much as I can with solar. People have challenged me on that before. And I said, well, that's not conservative. I think it's the most conservative. If there's a more cost-effective way to get part of my electricity that can pay off over time, I think that's extremely conservative. Makes sense to me. Well, we can pick it up and argue it on Monday. I am out of here. Paul Feinbaum on the way next, or... who's filling in for Paul Feinbaum today, but he'll be back next week. And join us tomorrow at 7, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So Scott Bannon, Director of Marine Resources, joins us. Talk about snapper numbers right now, the new regulations in effect. And I'll give you a tease. Talks about his next job coming up. Don't miss it.